You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my webpage at dr-history.com for over 440 true stories of the Old West. Also, now available on Amazon, my first book, a historical fiction based on true events entitled Coal Miner to Cowboy. The story of a young man born in England in 1850. He wants to be a cowboy and makes his way to America, travels from New Orleans to Independence on a steamboat, hires on as a teamster to Santa Fe, then on a cattle drive to Bozeman, Montana. He also rides shotgun on a stagecoach. He travels with a wagon train, and on his two-year journey, he meets some famous people and keeps a journal of his adventures. The book contains a lot of the true stories from my podcast and is now available on Amazon. Visit my webpage for a link to Amazon for the book, Coal Miner to Cowboy. Howdy, folks. Dr. History here with more stories from the Old West. You know, I've got a few little short stories I'd like to tell you today. The first one involves some men that were sitting around a campfire one evening. They were on a cattle drive, and the cattle boss, his name was Vince, started telling them about a story that he'd heard. He said after the Civil War, there were a lot of cattle running wild on the plains, and the cattle were yours for the taking. If you could catch them, most were old, called moss horns or mossies, because their horns were scaly with age. Some greenhorns from back east thought they could catch free cattle and sell them for a healthy profit. Well, they found those old moss horns were too wild to hold in a herd. But some old cowboys figured out a way to tame them. One cowboy would rope the head, another the hind legs. With the steer lying on its side, a cowboy kneeled on its head and neck while two other cowboys sewed the steer's eyelids shut. Well, by now, he said, I'd seen stories, steers roped and lying on the ground, and you go poking a needle in their eyelids, I don't think they're going to sit very still for that. Anyway, Vince swore he knew the cowboys that did this. The calmer blind cattle were easier to handle. The cowboys mixed them in with larger groups of gentler stock so no one would notice. After a few days on the trail, the moss horns worked their eyelids loose, able to see. They'd beller and bawl and pretty soon stampede the whole darn herd. The mossies wandered back on the prairie, and the next time some greedy greenhorns came along with cash, the cowboys rounded them up and roped them, blinded them, and sold those cattle again. You can believe that story or not, but I think it actually is true. You know, there's some stories about the cold and how cold it was out on the plains, and lightning and different things. One experienced cowhand, he said how he was knocked off his horse twice by lightning. He said, the first time I saw a ball of fire come toward me and felt something strike my head. I was under my horse when I came to, and rain was pouring all around me. Another guy said, talked about lightning bolt that had knocked five men down and killed seven horses. Then they started talking about the cold and how sometimes horses froze to death with the rider still in the saddle. Then another guy, he spoke up. You know, the first liar can't outdo the second liar. He said, it was so cold that when one cowboy spoke to another, his words froze in midair. They had to take the words into the cabin to warm them up so they could hear what the cowboy said. That one you might consider maybe not quite true. But so another story around a campfire. A guy named Travis Anderson was a passenger, and he had a story about when he'd been a passenger on a stage out of Shasta, California, in the winter of 1855. He said the narrow road had a deep ravine on one side and a steep hill on the other. He said we hit a rough, rocky part, the driver was thrown off the coach, and the horses took off on a dead run. It looked like a bad crash was soon to happen. Some passengers riding on the outside jumped off, taking their chances with a fall. He says, I thought it was the end for me, but an off-duty messenger, which is actually like a stagecoach driver, his name was Mr. Lusk, was also a passenger that day. He realized what was happening and climbed out the coach door as it rocked and bounced over ruts and rocks. He crawled to the driver's box, but there were no reins. He jumped down between the horses onto what they called the whipple tree of the stage and scrambled up on the back of the running near-wheeler horse, nearly falling to be trampled by the horse's hooves, churning up the ground below. Somehow he hung on, gathered up the reins, and stopped the horses. He was a hero. Travis says, I shook his hand and thanked him. Some of the women hugged him. So now that story, the source I have on that one is actually true. So you can believe that one. Now here's another one. He was a mountain man. His name was Ewing Young. He made himself a name and a fortune by driving the first herd of cattle overland to the Oregon country. In the fall of 1837, Young founded the Willamette Cattle Company. He selected 9 Willamette Valley settlers, none of them had experience herding stock, to accompany him to California on a cattle buying mission. Well, Young purchased cattle near San Francisco Bay, paying $3 a head until he was out of money. With a herd numbering nearly 800 head, they started north. But the Spanish longhorn cattle were difficult to handle, and they had to be denied water and starved into submission before they would be driven again. Now, rivers posed the greatest danger to the cowboys and the cattle. At the San Joaquin River crossing, the cattle refused to go into the water. Well, Young and the drivers had to rope the cattle and drag them to the other side. Well, this process took a full week, and nearly 100 animals actually drowned in the process. Well, the drive continued up the Long Valley and over the mountain range. Eventually, the herd was driven into the Willamette Valley, where the settlers were eager to buy cattle. So of the 800 head that started the drive, 632 survived. Young made a profit of 150% on the cattle he sold, making him the wealthiest man in the Oregon country. Well, the cattle belonging to Young were allowed to run wild into the foothills of the Coast Range, and upon his death, where there was no one to care for the cattle, they multiplied, and within a few years became so troublesome to the settlers, frightening and chasing women and children, they were hunted and slaughtered for meat. And that, I believe, is also a true story. Now, this story takes place on a cattle drive. So the railhead at Miles City, Montana, was the terminus for some of the early Northwest cattle drives. A lady who grew up in Montana remembered as a child watching herds of longhorn cattle being driven across the Yellowstone River. And here's what she said. One herd arrived when the river was banked full of dangerous-looking, she recalled, the cattle. It was just dangerous-looking. The river looked dangerous. The cowboys began preparing for the crossing. Well, each man loosened his saddle cinch, except one young chap who had never ridden in swimming water. He tightened his cinch, and you'll see why here in a minute. The herd was crowded off the bank into the treacherous stream. When partway over, the leaders tried to double back, forming a mill. Bill Case, one of the old hands, seemed to be everywhere trying to break the mill and encouraging the other cowboys. When someone shouted, "The kid's gone down!" Well, Case managed to get to where the kid was last seen, and when his head appeared above the water, he yelled at him to grab a steer's tail, and about then, the silent, churning animals took action and made for shore. Well, Case shouted at the boy to swim high, and that kid was bouncing high when the old steer started up the other side. He looked like a weight on a kite's tail. As the steer made for the cottonwood trees, the kid let loose, and to avoid the herd's hooves that were cracking over the stones, he shinnied up a tree, dripping wet but happy. The kid dropped on the horse of the first rider to reach him. His plucky horse had swum in the river until the tightened cinch cut off his wind. In other words, it was tightening around the horse. It drifted down, coming out on the opposite shore. That little pony had filled with water. His ears were hanging way down until he looked about like a German dachshund. So the rule there is don't tighten your cinch if you're going to get in water, because that leather's going to shrink and tighten around the horse's chest. Now here's another little story. A guy by the name of Hank Vaughn. He was kind of a rogue cowboy, quick on the draw. He's a mean customer when he was drinking. One time, Hank was sitting in a saloon drinking whiskey when a stranger came through the swinging doors. Hank ordered him to dance. The stranger did not dance fast enough to suit Hank, so he drew his revolver and emptied it into the floor at the stranger's feet. A few days later, the stranger got even, shooting Hank in his right arm. While Hank was recuperating, he tacked playing cards to the wall of his room and practiced drawing and shooting with his left hand. Now, another time, Hank was drinking in a saloon and got into an argument with a fellow named Charlie Long. Hank challenged Charlie to grab the corner of a bandana. Each man took hold, and when the bandana was stretched tight between them, they drew and fired. When the smoke cleared, both men lay on the floor. Only Hank survived. Well, during his stormy life, Hank Vaughn was shot 13 times. On the day he died, at age 46, Hank was drinking heavily and racing his horse wildly up and down the main street in Pendleton, Oregon. His horse threw him, and he fell headlong into a pile of rocks. But even in death, the wild times continued. At Hank's funeral procession, there was a runaway. A buckboard was destroyed, and seven men were injured. Okay, here's another one about a horse trader. So a greenhorn attorney new to the West agreed to take a wild Mustang in trade for his services. The animal was brought to town and tied to the awning post in front of the attorney's office. "I can ride this little pony, no problem," announced the attorney. Well, word spread quickly, and a fair-sized crowd gathered to watch the fun as the horse was saddled. The attorney made sure his brand-new Stetson hat was pulled down snug on his head before he swung up and onto the saddle. Okay, so the horse stood absolutely still, ears laid flat, eyes showing white, nostrils flaring and closing, second stretched. Finally, a few in the crowd began to snicker and laugh. Well, the attorney said, "This little pony's broke." He said, "Untie him." You see, the horse had been tied up. Well, hands reached for the rope, tied around the awning post, but it was at that instant the fuse reached the powder. The Mustang humped his back like a mule in a hailstorm and commenced bucking. The attorney was tossed over the horse's head, and when he landed spread eagle on the boardwalk, the seat of his trousers ripped open. As an added indignity, the bronc took the awning post with him. The awning came down. When the greenhorn attorney finally managed to crawl out from under the wreckage, his backside was completely exposed to the world, and his head was sticking through the crown of his brand new cowboy hat. Okay, here's another one. A cowboy found a horse standing by a fence line, saddle turned under its belly, and a lasso around its neck. Now, this seemed a little strange. The lasso, or the rope, you know, the lariat, had obviously been cut. The horse and saddle was recognized to belong to a guy named Jack Frusetta, a cowboy who worked for the SL Ranch, an outfit headquartered near Elko, Nevada. Well, word spread, and cowboys from neighboring ranches gathered and launched a search. The last anyone had heard from Jack was that he planned to trail a small bunch of cattle off the range. The cowboy spread out across the high plain, and after several hours, one of the men fired his pistol, signaling to the others. They converged and found evidence that Jack had been seriously injured. They located a bullwhip. Jack was a hand with a bullwhip, and it was clear that he had used the whip to cut and pull sagebrush to a spot where he had built a fire. They found where the saddled horse lead rope had been tied and cut, freeing the horse. The consensus was that Jack had been bucked off his horse, that he had either broken his back or his legs and could not mount his horse. So leading credence to the theory was the trail they followed where Jack had dragged himself through the snow and mud. They traveled 3 miles, locating the remains of 19 small fires before finding Jack's body. He was lying on his back, hat tipped as if to provide shade from the sun. His gloves were neatly folded and laid over his spurs. The cowboy drove a pipe into the ground, the cowboys did, to mark the spot. A plaque was added later. Its message was direct, in memory of Jack Frusetta, found dead here. Okay, how about one more? 7 white horses ran wild on the high desert at the turn of the century. Visitors to the area were always impressed by their first sight of these 7 beautiful white horses running single file through the sagebrush, their manes and tails blowing in the wind. Whenever a newcomer commented about seeing the horses, the locals would act extremely interested and relate stories about a reward for their capture. Sometime, they said, a wealthy Eastern gentleman had offered $10,000 for the 7 perfectly matched white horses because he wanted them to pull his hearse when he died. Other times, the local said a California movie producer wanted the 7 to star in a motion picture. Well, the truth was the 7 horses, all geldings, were branded with the Circle on the Jaw brand and belonged to a ranch at a place called Summer Lake. The horses had escaped, and even though the rancher had tried a lot of times to catch them, the horses continued to run wild. One spring, a roan horse joined the 7 white horses. The roan was tricked into coming to a waterhole by a well-known buckaroo cowboy named Rube Long. The other horses followed the roan, and Rube was able to capture the entire band. Never again did the magnificent 7 white horses run free and wild through the painted hills and across the open flats of the high desert. These beautiful animals became saddle horses to some lucky cowboys. So, folks, that's a few of the stories I wanted to tell you today, and I think we might continue this next week because I've got a few more short stories that I think you might find interesting. So, folks, you have a good day.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.